You're listening to Pagan Mom Podcast. I am so glad that you're joining me today, and this is a podcast where you can come to indulge in various topics regarding paganism in our modern world, merging present and past. Be sure never to miss an episode by subscribing if you feel so inclined. I'd be very grateful. Thank you. Now let's get on with it. Hello, all you beautiful souls, and welcome back to another episode, which this time is about altars. This is your host, Pagan Mom, the modern Vala. So, what is an altar, you might wonder, if you're new to the pagan path? And I'd say that there are many types of different altars. Deity altars, work altars, offering altars, basic altars, and also travel altars. And in this episode, I'm going to explain each of these altars and give you some inspiration and suggestions on what those altars can look like and stuff you can have on them. So, without further ado, let's get cranking. So let's begin with explaining what a deity altar is. It is a place which is sacred to you and the deity that you're connected to or the one that you tend to pray to the most. There is a difference between revering and actively being connected to a deity, and I'm gonna talk more about that in a future episode, but for now, let's stick to the topic of altars. But anyhow, this type of altar is the place for a deity, and it's where you go to honor the deity you have made it for and to connect and pray, for example. It doesn't need to be all fancy schmancy like we can see many examples of on Instagram and such. It could also be very simple and minimalistic. The only thing that matters is that you and your deity is happy with it. There are no rules as to how an altar should look like, although I would recommend that you're not using the same altar for multiple deities. An altar should be for one deity only, in my opinion, but other pagans might think differently about that, and that's totally okay. But personally, I would never have more than one deity on one altar out of respect for that deity. Most pagans tend to have their altars on smaller types of tables, and some also make them on wall shelves. There's many pagans on YouTube that speaks about their altars, and they almost always say that they got gifted this and gifted that by random people or friends, and that their altars are full of those things. And by them saying this, a common misconception has been created with the years, it seems, which is that you can only put gifted things on your altars, and that's really not the case. It's a myth created on YouTube, basically. You can put whatever you and your deity would like to have on it. And if that is gifted things, then by all means. But you get my point. Personally, I would never put gifted things on my matrons or patrons' altars, since that doesn't really feel right to me. I put those gifted things on my work altar instead, though, which I'm going to talk about later on in the episode. So, what kind of things can you have on the deity altar then? First of all, it's important, in my opinion, to have some stuff that means something to you and the deity, and also something that symbolizes your relationship with that deity you made the altar for. And maybe the deity have also told you exactly what they want too on it, because some of them can be very picky with that. And to start off with, maybe you can put something that depicts the deity on the altar, like a figurine or a picture. This is not just honoring the deity, but it can also help you with connecting to your deity more easily, using the depiction as a focus object, for example. Maybe you create your own figurine out of clay or something else. Maybe you can paint a picture of how you see the deity and put on there. There's plenty of pictures and figurines to buy on Etsy, for example, which is also a good option if you're not that artsy yourself. Stuff associated with a deity is always good to have there too, like something that represents the deity and the different aspects of him or her. And maybe the deity has a special color they like or presents themselves with, so maybe that color can be a theme of the altar itself. Crystals are both beautifully decorative as well as energetic tools for you and the deity to use. So that would be a hot suggestion for me. I have loads of crystals on Freya's altar myself, and all over my home for that matter. Some deities have special kinds of crystals that they are especially connected to, which then could be a good thing to put on the altar. You can also put things you find in nature that represents the deity, or things you find the deity to actually have gifted you themselves. You can also put flowers or other plants that are associated with your deity. Sometimes the deity can have certain requests for that too, though. It's also good to have an offering bowl, preferably a fireproof one, so you can also use it to burn offerings for them, like incense, for example. And also, a cup would be a good thing to have on the altar as well, to put beverages in, if that is what you want to offer the deity. Candles are a standard on most pagan altars out in the world. Some make their own candles and some buys them. There really isn't any right or wrong with either. I tend to have both. When making my own candles for my matron and patron, I have full control of what that candle is made of, and I can also make it so it perfectly represents my matron or patron. Like, for example, if I'm making a candle for Freya, I wanna incorporate gold in some way, for example, because that is representative of her, and maybe other colors that is her colors. Also, I might add a scent that I know she likes to it. If I'm making a candle for Father Canunos, I might wanna make it a deep green in color and add some woodsy scent to it. Maybe I'll even add some pine needles in too, for example, because that is representative of him as a god of the forest. But if you don't want to make your own candles, you can go to the supermarket and find something that really represents your deities as well. Believe me, there are options. Like, I found pine tree candles and gold glitter candles at a dollar store, for example, and they were perfect on the altars. So it's really not impossible to find something that really, really matches. And it's not bad that it comes from the supermarket. It's the thought that counts. So yeah, you guys get what I mean with the candles. Enough babbled about that. Anyway, a deity altar is for the deity, a sacred place. So make sure it's not just a dumping place for all your random stuff. So now you guys know what a deity altar is. So let's move on and talk about basic altars. What is that? A basic altar is a kind of altar that is not dedicated to a specific deity, but rather a general altar to honor any deity, for example. Which can be very practical if you want to have a sacred space like this, but you don't really know which deity you want to make it for. Or maybe you don't even want to dedicate to a single deity at all. If you follow the Norse pagan path, you can maybe put some stuff there to represent this path. Or if you're following the Celtic or whatever path you're walking, put stuff that represents that on this altar. Things to put up on this kind of altar can be very simple as well as very decorative. The choice is yours. You want to make it special and sacred. Maybe put a little cloth on, some flowers, some candles, some offering bowls, some pictures and cups, and maybe an incense tray, for example. You can go to this altar for praying and connecting just like the deity altar, as well as other things of your liking. Now, let's move on and talk about work altars. This kind of altar is typically one that most practitioners of the craft tend to have. But even if you're a basic pagan, which is not into the craft, you can have this kind of altar too, of course. But I'm gonna talk about it from a practitioner's point of view though. This is the kind of altar where you would most likely spend your time the most if you're a practitioner of the craft. A work altar is an altar where you sit down or stand to create magic and other things too. Whether it's with creating art, doing spells, making spell objects, making your own incense, reading tarot or oracle, or doing rune castings, writing your spiritual experiences down, or whatever it is, this is your spiritual workplace. This type of altar is usually a tad bit bigger than the deity altar, since most practitioners have a lot of stuff that they use in their practices, and it's also nice to have a bit more space to do things on. So it is great to use a desk for this or a bigger kind of table, maybe even a garden table if you want to be outside. So put all your things that you tend to work with on this altar for easy access when you work your magic. And put some other meaningful things there too, so that you can really get into the right mindset as you're sitting down by the altar to do your things. Maybe decorate it with flowers and plants of your liking, pictures, gifted things, nature stuff you find useful for your practice and such, and much more. It's all up to you, really. If I could, I would dedicate a whole room for my practice with an altar in it, and maybe a meditation space, and yeah, that would be awesome. But I don't have that kind of space as of yet, so I'm patiently waiting for that to come my way. I'd also make a garden house into a magic place, if I would have that. Yeah, such dreams, people, such dreams. Anyhow, let's continue. So now let's talk about offering altars. This is a type of altar that's typically outside in nature, and it's often used by many people to honor all kinds of deities. Maybe there's a blot for a certain deity, and that kind of altar is being used to put the different offerings on it. This altar can be a natural stone altar. It can also be an ordinary wooden table that is brought out for this purpose and decorated. And in the Celtic pagan tradition, there's typically a stone altar in the middle of a tree grove, and also these stone altars can be found in the middle of various stone circles all around the world, which is still being used today for spiritual purposes. The stone altars can be used for offerings to deities or other magical purposes as well, like for ceremonies or rituals, for example, and especially bigger ones, which includes more than just one or two people performing it. Now, let's talk about travel altars. A travel altar is such a good thing to have with you if you're going somewhere, and it doesn't need to be much or elaborate in any way. A travel altar is supposed to be minimalistic and easy to take with you wherever you go, only taking the essential stuff with you. So, what can essential things be then? It depends on what kind of practitioner you are, really. Are you the basic pagan that is not into the craft, or are you a practitioner of the craft? That in itself can determine what would be important to have in your travel altar. So let's say you're a basic pagan. What should you have in your travel altar then? I would recommend something that represents the deity or deities that you're worshipping, so maybe a little figurine or something else that you feel is representative. Just keep in mind that it's supposed to be easy to take with you. I would suggest that you bring some offering supplies, so maybe some vials of some kind of beverage, maybe some incense sticks or cones, whatever you feel is suitable as offerings and doesn't go rancid for a while. Dried things is a hot tip, like dried herbs, and maybe an alcoholic beverage. Maybe you could also bring a small bowl to put the offerings in, if you feel you need that. And if you're into burning stuff, bring something that can take the heat to burn your stuff on. I'd suggest a power shell, since it's not heavy and it's fireproof. You can burn your herbs or incense on it, for example. It's perfect for that. You gotta think practical when prepping your travel altar, so no heavy, chunky things. A lighter could also be good to have, or some matches, and a little candle, like a tea light or something. And maybe you could also bring a piece of wood to put your stuff up where you want it. Totally optional if you want to do that. Personally, I think it could be neat to have a little disc or something to put my things on. Think basic, simple, and lightweight. Now, if you're not only a pagan, but a practitioner of the craft as well, you'll need to think basic pagan plus. So all or some of the stuff that I recommended for the basic pagan, plus some more things, like you want to think more about what you need for your practice, and if you're going to be doing anything special when you're out and about. Maybe you want to perform a ritual or a ceremony of some kind, or maybe you don't want to do anything like that at all. Maybe just some meditation and connecting to the deities or things like that. So think about these things when you start packing your travel altar. Just keep in mind that it's best to keep it as minimalistic as possible and lightweight, so you can just bring it wherever and not feel bothered by it. I would recommend that you pack tools for protection, cleansing, and energy helping. These are the three basic tool pillars, as I call it, when it comes to the craft. So, as an example, if you're a crystal person, you could take with you a few small crystals, and you need to be smart about your choices. Always have one for help with cleansing and one for protection, and then one or two for whatever you feel you need for energy helping. So maybe rose quartz for self-love or citrine for happiness. Or maybe you want one as an aid for your psychic abilities. It's your choice. So personally, I'd go for a black tourmaline, selenite, black obsidian, garnet, and clear quartz. That would be like a standard crystal set to bring with me wherever. I'd also recommend to fill up some small vials with dried herbs that you might want to use. So be smart with these too. Think like so that each herb is gonna be a multipurpose herb, so you won't be needing to bring the whole herb cabinet with you. One such herb is mugwort, for example, which has many different properties that will work for many different things. A vial with resin is also good to have, and an example of a multipurpose resin would be frankincense. So always think practical and multipurpose. Now I have talked about all these kinds of altars, so I bet you guys are curious of what I got on my altar, eh? Well, I'm gonna tell you. I said in my previous episode that I'm kind of a minimalist in my practice, and that also includes my altar. As of now, I only have one altar, and that's for my matron Freya. My patron Father Canunos doesn't have an altar, and I will explain why later on, but let's start with Freya's and what I have on that one. It's made on a hall counter, and the counter is made of stone and it has a drawer under it in wood. I have a picture of her, and I actually took a card from an oracle deck, and it depicts her in such a way that I perceive her to be like. She kind of looks similar on that as she looks when I see her in my dreams and visions, which is partly why I chose this card in particular. It really oozes her energy. I have plants and a vase with cut on flowers in it, and occasionally I put some other flowers on it, especially roses. I also have a bunch of crystals, an offering bowl, a candle, a power shell, and hanging on the wall behind it is a big fabric piece with the moon, stars, and mountains on it. The theme is gold and white. Maybe I'll put a picture up on Instagram of it someday soon. So keep an eye out for that, if this is something that interests you. Now let's talk about the altar for Father Kynunos. In the beginning, I made an altar for Father as well, but he let me know that he actually prefers to not have an altar indoors, since he would rather have me come outside in nature to honor him and give offerings or spend some time with him out there in nature. So I removed that altar and I had that on the wall on an antique-looking darkwood wall shelf. I also used to have an altar for the Morrigan on one of those wall shelves too, but I removed that since I just didn't think she was still there for me. But I was so wrong, and I actually feel so bad for not keeping my faith in that. But she's very much a silent watcher, so I mean, it's difficult sometimes to know with her. But nonetheless, I'm actually gonna put her altar up soon again. And if you guys want, I can take a picture of that too and put up on Instagram. Let me know. Send me voice messages on Anchor if you would like. I have a table which I'm using as my work altar, and it's made in dark wood and it's round, and I adore it. I don't have the space to have like a proper desk with all my witchy stuff on it yet, but someday I will. So I'm longing for that, and I'm actually already planning how I want it to be. A girl can dream, can't she? I also have a work table outside on my balcony, also with dark wood, which I also use occasionally, depending on what I'm doing. And I love that one too, but I don't have things on it since I don't want birds to steal my things. And now it is unfortunately time to wrap this episode up, and I hope you've liked it and maybe gotten some inspiration too. And now it is time for the Swedish word of the week. And the word is mjöd. Mjöd means mead, and it's spelled M-J-Ö, which is an O with two dots on top, D. So M-J-Ö-D, mjöd. And for those who doesn't know what mjöd is, it is an alcoholic drink made out of honey and herbs, and it was a very popular drink in the Viking Age. It is, however, still available today, but it is kind of difficult to get a hold of for some reason. I really like mjöd actually, and I'm going to make an entire episode talking about mjöd in the future, so stay tuned for that. Anyhow, I want to say also that I have taken some vacation from work now when it's summer, and I really want to enjoy it fully with my child and family, going to different places here in Sweden and visit relatives and such without any must-dos. So that means I'm going to take a little vacay from the pod as well. So, for 2 weeks forward, there will be no episodes. But after that, I'm going to give you guys an episode about coming out as a pagan practitioner. You don't want to miss that. So, hit the follow and subscribe button so you won't miss out when that episode comes up. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram and all that other jazz too to keep up with what I'm doing. Maybe I'll go to some historical places here in Sweden and put some pictures of that on the Instagram. All links are to be found in the description box of this episode. Use my link tree. You'll find all of the links associated to this podcast there. It's very practical. I also want to take the opportunity to thank my patrons on Patreon, Sam and Anthony. Thank you guys for being on board this longship, and may we long sail together. They also host my brother podcast, as I like to call it, Two Pagans and Podcast, which is a great one if you can't get enough of pagan podcasts to listen to. They're so funny and awesome, and I love them both. So do check them out. Also, Sam has recently published a book on Amazon, so I really recommend you guys to check that out as well. I will link their channel and the book in the description of this episode for you guys. So, now I'm all done babbling. See you guys in 2 weeks. Take care meanwhile, and skål! lots of love to y'all. See you in 2 weeks. Bye everyone. You're the one.